Amen. Good morning. As I mentioned before the meeting, we're doing something different. I was supposed to share the third message on the testimony of God today. We will not be sharing that. What we thought was more appropriate, since our brother Dennis went to be with the Lord, was to share some encouragement from his word. There is certainly great encouragement. And to maybe share some lessons from Dennis's life, things that we saw that could encourage us to walk more faithfully. Now, I was close to Dennis. He was in Group E, and I can promise you I couldn't do this without emotion. I think we're here, and we are a little confused, maybe a little questioning. You know, we do that sometimes. We're not perfect. We don't see all things as he sees, and we wonder, how could this happen? And some have shared those questions with me, and I'd like just from the word share some comforts. Now, if you don't know, and probably I think most of you know, Dennis was in a fatal motorcycle accident Friday afternoon early, perfect conditions. Here's a fella, just let me say, hundreds of thousands of miles on motorcycles, a veteran, and maybe this is my coming out time. I have a Harley as well. Many of you may not know that, and I certainly probably don't look like that. And I respected his riding ability tremendously. And on a perfect day, with perfect weather, at an intersection he had been through hundreds and hundreds of time, near his home, with a fellow rider behind, he just didn't see a stop sign. That's amazing to me. I talked to the brother who was behind and said, I said, why didn't he see it? He knew it. You'd have to understand how riders think. We're always thinking ahead what might be the danger. And here he had been there, and he'd lived through this and been through it, and all the word was, we don't know. We saw him touch his brake lights at the last moment, realizing probably that stop sign he knew so well was there. And then he went into the intersection, and he was broadsided by a very large truck with a trailer. His injuries, and I just want to say this much, and then talk about the mercies of God. His injuries he sustained were tremendous. His whole left side was crushed. And internal bleeding, and his heart was so bruised that in the end, they couldn't keep his heart going. And our dear sister, our little Irish nurse sister, Cecilia, by the way, probably said it well. It is the Lord's mercy that accident happened. In such an unlikely place, with such an unlikely person, the Lord's mercy took him home. He would have had a very long and terrible time of recovery with those injuries. But our comfort comes from the Word of God. I remember years ago somewhat struggling with the untimely death of a dear brother who we loved. It may have been John Street. I cannot remember. It was in the 80s. And Brother Stephen, one evening, as we were doing this same sort of soul searching and sharing and talking, shared these wonderful words from Romans 14, verses 8 and 9. Let me read them. I'll never forget these words. I had read Romans 50, 60, 70 times because Stephen told me I had to read it at least 50 times before he would answer any of my questions. And this verse never came alive to me until that night. And it says this, beginning in verse 7, for none of us lives to himself, and none dies to himself, for both if we should live, it is to the Lord we live, and if we should die, it is to the Lord we die. Both if we should live then, and if we should die, listen to this comfort, we are the Lord's. That's it. He knows all things. This is the one that knows all. I can't imagine that accident happening. When I think with his limited natural brain, but the Lord knows all things. And this is the comfort that we have from the Word of God. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Because we're not people of this world. And in the end, the great comfort is simply, we are the Lord's. That's what we say about Dennis. We knew he was the Lord's. Thank the Lord for his mercy. Thank the Lord that we have the one, and we know the one that controls life, and we know the one that controls death. There doesn't have to be a question. We can struggle with why didn't the Lord quicken his mortal body? We can do all these things, but he who knows all things is perfect. So that's one thing from the comfort from his word. Listen to Revelation 17. I think you know this verse. Just a few verses. Revelation 1, pardon me, it isn't 17. 1:7. When John received that 1:17, when John received that great revelation of the Lord himself, he fell at his feet, verse 17, as dead. And his right hand he laid upon me, saying, fear not. Those were the words. I am the first and the last, the living one, and I became dead, and behold, am living to the ages of ages. And listen to the encouragement from the Word of God, and have the keys to death and Hades. Aren't you thankful as we look at the unexplainable? We can say he alone has the keys of death. That's our comfort. There was the untimely death of Lazarus. I think you all know the sadness in John 11, the scriptures. You know the pain of that family. They thought, how could this happen? He who the Lord so loved, how is it possible that it happened? And the Lord came. If you'll turn with me to John 11, to that scene, I think you all know it. We've been studying John. And he said these words to a bereaved Martha. 11, Jesus in verse 23, Jesus says to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to these words, brothers and sisters. This is the encouragement from the Word of God. He that believes on me, that's you, that's me, that's Dennis. He that believes on me, though he have died, shall live. And listen, just so the Lord covered every case, and everyone who lives and believes on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do we believe that? You know, Dennis is asleep. He took his last ride. He wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere else but on that motorcycle. I know that. He had three of them. Linda won't let me have but one, and she wants me to get rid of that. Think of that. He that believes in me shall never die. You'll never die. If you know the Lord Jesus, you'll never taste death. One brother prayed about the second death in the meeting. Thank the Lord for that. These are the words that are encouragement to us. And notice the word, the emphasis, everyone, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. I think of another word of comfort from the scripture, Revelation 2:20 to the church in Smyrna. These were the words to a suffering church that went through inexplicable things. You read what they were to go through. There are some that believe we're never to suffer, we're never to be sick, maybe we're never to die. I don't see that in the Word of God. I see the one who is with us through every one of those circumstances. We have eternal assurance. And this word in Revelation 2:10, simple word, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Dennis, today, is wearing the crown of life. He traded that old Harley skull cap in for a crown of life. How much better? Another thing I think about, I hope it's for our edification, is lessons we can learn from Dennis's life. Dennis was, first of all, came here in the 80s. You may not know that, but it was a joy. When the Lord brought Dennis and Ruth, this Harley couple, that it was quite a shock to us. And they were newly saved and full of the joy of the Lord. And Mike Woods and I married Dennis and Ruth at Edith Mosley's house. I'll never forget it. The funny story, this is a funny story. Dennis had never worn a tie in his life, as far as we could tell. And so we, Mike and I, had to tie his tie for him. And as far as I understood, we only saw Ruth in jeans. And Jean, she may have never worn a dress, as far as we know. And the sisters had to dress her. But they were with us for years, Dennis and Ruth, and Dennis right to the end. And praise the Lord for the joy of the Lord we saw when he was here. A couple lessons. One, I think Dennis was like a child. And I don't mean that wrongly. I think Dennis was a simple brother, and please don't take that derogatorily. I mean that with the highest compliment. I would that we were all so innocent and childlike that we could just trust in the Lord no matter what. And I think that was his living testimony. You know, most of us are probably like the apostles. We're sitting there arguing about who's the greatest. And the Lord has a different idea. Look at Matthew 18. I'll just read you these few verses. Verse 1, in that hour the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens? I think we often think like that. And Jesus, having called a little child to him, set it in their midst and said, verily I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will not at all enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, he is the greatest in the kingdoms of the heavens. I think that was Dennis. He was childlike, tremendously childlike, very simple. What a blessed lesson we could learn. Maybe we argue too much about what's my ministry and what's my gift and who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And what should I be doing instead of with childlike faith, loving the Lord? What a lesson. A second lesson, there's only a few I wanted to share. He was faithful in small things. Group E, he was in Group E. Now, if you don't understand that language, you're new here, I'm telling you. But Group E, it was our group. We were with Dennis for years. We're going to greatly miss Dennis, I'm telling you. Even though he's in the Lord's presence and he's enjoying his glory and seeing with unveiled face, we're going to miss him. It's the truth. He was faithful in small things. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, Let a man so account of us as stewards of Christ, as servants of Christ, and stewards of the mystery of God. Here further, it is sought in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's the one thing. Think of it. That grand verse when Paul revealed what the apostles were and who we are to be, that one grand element that they're looking for is faithfulness. Dennis was faithful. I think we all know the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 25, verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in a few things." Notice what it says, "a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Notice it didn't say, "You are faithful in great things." That's the lesson of Dennis's life. He was faithful in a few things. And the reward outstripped the service in untold magnitude. And it said, I will make you ruler over many things. It's all that matters. That's what Dennis was like. I tell you what, in our group, I'm going to embarrass the brothers in my group, myself included, we have often come to our Saturday morning time preparing for Sunday, and often I have said, and others have said, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything to share before the Lord in the opening." Dennis Domer never once shared that. He never once said that. Every Saturday morning, this faithful brother who was faithful in small things always said, "Well, I have a word." He came, his Bible was open, and he always had a word. And I wish he had shared it more often. But here is one that was always prepared and always faithful. Group E will terribly miss him. You know, another thing, this may sound silly, because I think some of us think in two big, large ways spiritually about how we might be used. And if you're used, by the way, in some way by the Lord, just remember, the Lord can speak through a jackass, present company included, more than once. Dennis was so humble. Apologetically, he would speak of how the Lord, what he meant to him. And he had so much to share. He would always make sure that the brothers in this group, Group E, our group, were assigned a place at the table. He never let that go out of his sight. Nobody else did it. He did it. He made sure that there was order at the table. And he would always be there and say, "Now, brother, would you be able to take this spot? Brother, would you be able to take that spot? Would you be able to, for the saints, watch over this or that?" There's a faithful brother. He always did that. You know, he always made sure the lights were on. You may not have ever thought about the lights, but every Saturday he was here for our group. He walked around with that wand, checking the lights and going to every room. And if he couldn't find lights, he would go buy lights. Faithful in a few and small things. And one of the last things about his being faithful, you know, Friday night, he loved Friday night. He loved when we opened the Word and the Bible fellowship. And he would always come, and at the end of our time, we always have a snack because we like to eat like the Chinese. Okay? And Dennis always brought the same snack every other Friday night, his jalapeno cheese dip and his Frito-Lay scoops. And we said every time, "This is good." And it was good. He said, "That's so good." He used to, you know, Dennis would eat it with his hands. And he said, "It's so good. Isn't it so good?" I said, "Dennis, it's so good. It's my dinner. It's very good." Well, last thing about Dennis, maybe it's a lesson I think we should learn. Dennis, love the Lord. I'll never forget years ago, Brother Stephen used that phrase the first time I was a new believer, and he would always characterize a person, a believer, and he would say this simple phrase, they love the Lord. How important that is. How simple that is. How profound the lesson that is. That we could just be like Dennis and love the Lord. When he would pray in that room and we would pray before the meeting, brothers, how often did you hear him pray the words from Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's the three things I think about Dennis. He was like a child, childlike, trusting his Lord. He was faithful in small things. He loved the Lord. I can't think of anything more important. You know, there are a few people around here that mention the word overcomer a lot, present company included. We may have just had an overcomer in our midst. What's more important than being childlike in our faith? What's more important than being faithful? What's more important than loving the Lord with all of our heart? The Lord said, even the Lord said, these are the greatest of the commandments. In these is the whole of the law contained. And Dennis loved the Lord, and he loved the brethren. So these, I believe, our definition of overcomer might have to change. Not he who does great things for the Lord, but he who does a few things well before the Lord. Well, last week Dennis shared a testimony. This is the conclusion, the open time. I'm grateful, Noah, you sent that email out again for the YouTube, and I hope some of you relooked at it. He was full of life. He was humorous. It was profound, and it was deeply moving as he shared. I don't know if you know the background. I'll tell you it. In our group Saturday, the day before, I looked at Dennis. I said, Dennis, you have a testimony that the brethren need. Said, you have a testimony that you've retired from your earthly labor, but you cannot retire from serving the Lord. The saints need to hear that. And he said, you think so? I said, yes. And our brother went ahead to share that testimony, and it's one testimony I'll never forget. He said, I'm retired now. Did you notice that was the theme of last Sunday? I thought that I can't say that. I'm sorry. I'm retired now. But you never retire from serving the Lord. The Lord is showing me so much. He was delighted to say, now I can come to every Wednesday night. Now I can come to Friday nights and won't fall asleep. You remember he said that. And now I can be a Sunday. I'm learning so much from the Lord. And then he said, after you retire, what's next? And he said, after you retire, you meet the Lord, I guess. In prophetic words were never so truly spoken. He is now in the presence of the Lord. And we rejoice that we had the privilege to serve with one like that. And we saw something of the living Christ in one like that. And we would do well to emulate one like that. And those characters, if they're found in us, maybe at the end we'll hear those same words. He's already heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." For the remainder of the time, we're going to ask brothers and sisters to share their memories. The reason we're doing this, as I said, is we are not sure yet what the arrangements are, but when we know, we'll tell you. We have offered to help in any way we can. Adam, his son, is here and is taking care of those arrangements with others. And this may be our opportunity, our memorial service, our rejoicing. So we want you, if you have a testimony, remember, we're going to hold the card. Where'd the card go? We're going to hold you to the same limits and rules. And if at least a few would come and share some reflection.
That was a good summary, Kenny. I think it was a wonderful emphasis on Dennis' life. Are you going to get the card? You don't have to get it from me.
I'm getting in line.
Okay. You know, I just couldn't help but thinking, I love Dennis, you know? As I thought about it more, I love Dennis because I love the Lord's life in him. Kenny spoke of it. When I heard the news, we were following it Friday afternoon, left and right, and getting these reports, and I thought, I can't believe it. Can't believe it. But I woke up Saturday morning and I thought, praise the Lord. The Lord called Dennis home. It's wonderful. You know, Dennis and I talked about motorcycles and cars, and we're both kind of gearheads and love machines, and we talk about where he was riding. And I do have something for Linda and Jessica. My father was in his early 80s, and his daughter-in-law went and took his car away from him, and he never quite understood where his car went. You know, it was a long process, but I think motorcycle age, 80s, is about 65, Linda. And so if you need any help stealing the motorcycle, let me know. I'll arrange it for you. You know, Dennis and I talked a lot about retirement because I've been retired and he was looking forward to it. And what would he do? And, you know, Dennis' simple faith was so powerful. And he was looking forward to retiring. You know, Dennis didn't necessarily have an easy time. The last years, he drove a tandem tractor trailer to Winston-Salem and back every night, in the dark mainly, with hazardous loads, and he was glad to be out of that. You know, Kenny married Dennis and Ruth left him. He didn't understand that, but you know what he did? He didn't take offense. He wasn't offended. You know, when we get challenged like these things, we can get bitter or we can get better. And Dennis chose to seek the Lord. Good lesson. You know, we sat next to each other at the old man's table, and we'd talk about things. Dennis, bless his soul, he had a problem with portion control. He brought gargantuan plates full, thank you, of whatever we had, and probably one refill, except there was one dish. He'd say, "Well, what are we having today?" And I'd say, "Chicken casserole." I hate chicken. Every time we had chicken casserole, we could have recorded that. "What are we having for food today?" chicken casserole. I hate chicken. But I think he ate it. Didn't he eat it? Did he eat a big plateful? Maybe only one in that time. We sat together at the Lord's table. And you probably didn't notice, he would move around sometimes. And he moved because somebody was kick his chair. It drove him nuts. It's probably your kids, probably. But someone would kick his chair and say, move over here. And then he'd get a quiet spot and fall asleep. But he often had a song. And he came with a verse. You know, when he shared something at the table, he didn't make it up on the fly. He had something to share. He had a song to share. And what I loved about Dennis was his simple faith in Christ. He was given to the Lord. And so I say I love Dennis, but I love the Lord's life in Dennis and his unashamed testimony of the Lord's life. We talk often about the testimony of Jesus. Dennis had the testimony of Jesus. If you ever wonder what it is, think about Dennis. He had the testimony of Jesus. And talk about spiritual leadership and so forth. And the first thing in spiritual leadership is not the message, but the man. And Dennis was the man. He was a living stone in the house of God.
Until Friday afternoon, I had lost two very, very, very close friends to tragedy. When I was a sophomore in high school, one of my friends was a very close friend. Actually, we had gone first through sixth grade in the same classroom. He was killed as a passenger in a vehicle driven by a drunk person. We all dressed up and went to the funeral. And I remember the pastor saying, or the gentleman doing the, he said, Johnny was either saved from something in his life much worse than death, or the Lord needed him in the heavenlies. The next time was the July 4th after I graduated from high school. Another very, 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 very close friend drowned down here at the Z Dam. We were playing around in the summer. Both of those boys had some church in their background, in their lives. I can only trust the Lord that at the time of death, they asked the Lord to save them, to save their souls. I lost a close friend, not a very, very close friend, but a close friend in the Lord, a close brother in the Lord Friday. And I know without a doubt he is with the Lord. Folks, be encouraged. Tragedies all around us. Our only hope is Christ. John said, more Sundays than not, Dennis would come to me and you know where I sit? He would say, I got in front of a chair kicker this morning. And I would say, brother, why do you think I sit on the back row? And he said, I don't understand why they do it. And this has been a long time ago because he would still almost every week. The weeks he didn't come to me, I knew he was free. But one of the, he came to me and I said, brother, it comes down to this. Are we going to prefer others above ourselves? And then I said, that's right. I can't be angry with them. They don't know. We need a testimony of Dennis is we need to prefer others above ourselves. That brother did that. So thank God. That's not a mean lesson. That's a lesson in victory. And I give thanks that I knew Dennis, and I rejoice he is in the heavenlies today.
John said, commented about Dennis being a living stone among us. The Lord is at work in our midst. Dennis was an overcomer. I'm sure he's heard the words we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. What I remember most about Dennis was his sweet prayers concerning the children here. I'm going to read a few verses from a song that I think testify to our brother's life. Some of the things that he went through have been mentioned. My feet stand on level ground. He carries me up on the heights. The winds howl and the rains pound. My eyes stay fixed and don't lose sight. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, and I will rescue you. Be encouraged, saints, that the Lord is at work here.
Allowed to talk. I loved to talk to Dennis, and many times he would have a joke, you know, to share with me, and the kind of joke that you had to know the answer, and I seldom did. About 2 months ago, one day I just had this sensing that I should give Dennis a hug. So the next Sunday, he was sitting over here eating, and so I just went over and sat beside him and talked to him for a while. And he didn't get up. He was still eating, and so I finally went back to my place. But the next week, he was standing up, and so I went and gave him a hug. And I thought it was so cute that, not cute, but I just thought it was so, I'm so glad we did it, that he was the first one that we gave applause to. You know, usually we don't give any applause, but we applauded Dennis. And then, let's see, there was one more thing, and I can't remember. Oh, don't we all know why we had so many songs that we sang this morning?
I'm going to cut the line that formed over there. I heard about this before and didn't think I had anything to share, but as Kenny was talking about the joy in Dennis's life, you really saw it in the mornings. Many of us come, we go to pray, you know, we're feeling an obligation sometimes, but there was always joy when Dennis walked in that room. In his, and you could see it in his face, just the joy to be in there. And I'm not an emotional person, but apparently the Lord's working on that one. Thank you, Dennis. And serving in the conference, Dennis had small tasks most wouldn't notice. If you go see me a lot, that heart Dennis had for the conference and the being together with the saints, I tried to find a verse about assembling together. And I will remember the time Dennis, the year we moved conference from before the 4th of July to the week of the 4th of July, Dennis missed the note. And he missed conference that year. And I think it might be the only time you would have seen Dennis not happy. But he was still happy. He knew the Lord had something in it. But you could, I guess I take for granted being there and the assembling together and what it truly means. And it's an opportunity for us to serve the saints. And Dennis cherished that, and you could tell. And may we all truly learn from Dennis that ability to just have the joy of the Lord and to cherish the assembling together of the saints, whether it be here on Sunday morning, no matter what we've been through in the week, or that week of conference where for some of us is very busy. But it's our opportunity to serve the Lord, and may it truly be, may I learn to have a heart like Dennis and worship the Lord.
Yeah, I agree with Philip. There's, you know, when you think of Dennis, there's a few words that come to mind, and a few have said it already. There's simplicity, and like Kenny said, not in any kind of derogatory way. I think of also, with simplicity, the word that is intertwined with that in Dennis is transparency. There was you hear that phrase about people, whether living or they died, that there wasn't a mean bone in his body. Well, that's Dennis. I mean, you knew, if you didn't know what he was thinking, just ask him and he would tell you. But oftentimes, you knew exactly what was on his mind. One of the other things I was considering with the passing of our brother was this human emotion of and I think part of it is God-given. It can go to a level where we get depressed and, you know, you wonder why and all these things come up. But when we are faced with these kind of emotions, with somebody passing, I couldn't get past, he's passed, it's a sad thing, it's a little bit of a surprise, but that's where it stopped. There was no further sadness about it. There was no further depression. It was kind of a heavy heart, but like a few have said, you can't help but, like the word is again, joyful. You can't help but be joyful and a little jealous maybe, because like one of our brothers up here said, he's in a better place, you know. Not to take the wrong perspective, but we're the ones stuck here. So that's what kept coming to me. What a privilege, you know. And some was, if somebody that didn't know the Lord came in here last Sunday and knew Dennis's history here and knew that we had, you know, the open sharing times we've been having, they would say, you know, what a coincidence that Dennis got up here days ahead of the Lord taking him home. Well, obviously that's not a coincidence. Obviously the Lord knew, and I was sharing with a few this week that this subject came up and I just had to say, not a coincidence, but we heard the testimony from Dennis, but Kenny mentioned it again as well. Someone not knowing the Lord might say, oh, he testified, you know, he just retired and now he's gone. What a shame. Well, what did we hear from Dennis last week? We heard, I'm retired. And the words were something very close to, now I can serve the Lord. So I was sharing with a few this week that it's almost as if the Lord heard that and said, all right, it's time to come home. You know, he was ready. What a dear brother, you know. Praise the Lord for the life and faithfulness. I mean, I'll stop here. There's so much you could say, but praise the Lord for his timing and what he did in our brother. And what hopefully he'll do through us in this. Praise the Lord.
Dennis was one of the very first people that I met when I came to the fellowship. And one of the words that come to my mind about our dear brother is he was real. You know, he was so real. And I remember when I first came here, Dennis was one of the first I met. And the Lord really used him to convict me and to show me some things. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I was really more or less unsaved, you know. And I came here playing church, thinking, okay, I got to look the church part with a shirt and tie on and everything. I saw Dennis. I met Dennis. He had his leather jacket. And, you know, I have the exact same leather jacket. But I'm not a motorcycle guy. It was from my rebellious punk days. I still have it at home. I keep it as a reminder of what I was. And I'm not advocating, you know, we should dress a certain way or anything like that. But I saw in that how Dennis was real. And the Lord convicted me, you know, this is a heart issue. It's not the outside, you know. And at the same time, in my brother, I saw, you know, transparency, as I said, and there was freedom in Christ, you know, not outward, but inward, that we could be who we are in the Lord Jesus, you know, Christ and me, you know. And I was in Kenny's group in the early days when we got here, when I got here, and Dennis was in there, and he was just an encouragement, and I saw his faithfulness in the little things, you know. And maybe some people don't know, but we went one time down to I think it was Mississippi or somewhere for the hurricane with the youth group to help with that. And Dennis drove the bus, and you know, all of us were enjoying being in the back of the bus and fellowshipping. And he was so faithful just to keep driving. You know, that's a long way. And then when someone would come and just, you know, come to the front and just kind of, you know, fellowship with him, he would always enjoy that, you know. But he didn't seek to, you know, get anything in return or anything like that. He just faithfully did that, and there was always joy in his heart, you know. So, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord, he's with the Lord, but I'm going to miss him too, you know. We're all going to miss him. You know, the Lord used him and right at the beginning, you know, when I came here. So thank you.
If you really have it on your heart to say something, we may go a little longer. But come up front if you really have it on your heart to say something.
I was in Dennis's group also, his Bible's fellowship group. But when I first got here, Enoch Way used to invite us out to lunch afterwards on our Saturday times, and always Dennis would be included. So I got to know Dennis pretty well. And I think the best picture in my mind is the fellowship I could see with Dennis and then Dr. Enoch Way together, and just see these two brothers as two peas in a pod, able to fellowship in Christ, and it was really neat. But I was also going to bring up some just brief experience. One is I Dennis, what was mentioned was Dennis used to pray for the children often in our times we prayed before the meeting. But also when he would do announcements or if he would share at the table, actually, okay, so the table time. If he would share at the table, where, right when we break bread, he often would say, and all you young people, please pray right now. So his heart, now I think with teenagers and even college students, it's easy to, if somebody calls you out, you get scared. Like, so if you say, please, if you're a teenager or a high schooler, please now pray, then you just clam up and you're so scared. And a lot of us adults don't realize that. We just, our hearts love them and say, and we love it when they pray. And so we say, can you please pray? And so this was how big his heart was. And so I actually talked to him a couple of times as he was going to do a table time or something. I was like, Dennis, can you not call out the young people? He's like, okay, are you sure? But I was just thinking about, like, I did encourage him not to say that a couple of times, but I wanted to bring it up just to say, like, that was stuck in my heart. Just like his heart was so good with that. Always wanting to hear from a younger believer and always enjoy and just joyful just hearing someone that's younger pray. Okay, the other thing I wanted to bring up is just some of our Saturday morning times, like Brother Kenny said, he always came prepared. And he didn't always share that as an opening, because in our group there'd be 8 or 10 people prepared and have something. But there's a few that stood out to me that did not ever get shared. It's something special for me to actually be able to remember that with my memory. But I remember these times when he shared, and we were all blessed. It didn't end up being the opening. One of the times was, and he would come and he'd have a lot of verses on a certain topic. So one of them I remember was with the resurrection. Now, maybe one time he did open with resurrection, but there was one time he didn't. And I remember he had a bunch of verses, but as he shared verse by verse, he said, he's risen, he's risen. And the joy and excitement was really there. And every layer upon layer, he would share these things and just share how Christ has risen from the dead. And another time, a very similar experience, he shared on victory, that we have victory. And he shared all these verses on victory and how Christ is the victory, and he's really the victory. And he didn't share the opening, but we were all blessed. We were all edified and encouraged, and the joy was there. And this last Saturday, he had an opening, and it didn't end up being the opening that was shared. And I just wanted to bring that up because it was very touching. And it is from John 15:3, where Jesus says, "You are already clean by reason of the word which I've spoken to you." And he shared that. And if you remember the time when, a little bit later in John's gospel, when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples and he goes to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, "You can't wash my feet." Then he says, "You have no part with me otherwise." He said, "Wash all of me." And Jesus said something similar. He said, "You are clean. It's just your feet that need to be clean." But so as Dennis brought this up, he wasn't focusing on how, you know, if we make a mistake and sin, we need to be cleansed by the blood just to restore our fellowship with God. He was more focusing on how Jesus said, "You really are clean, but your feet have gotten dirty." But just this revelation, and to him, he kind of said it like it was something really new. And it was actually a question. He's like, "How are we clean?" He said, "But it says we are already clean." And as he shared it, it really was very touching. He's like, "I'm clean. I'm already clean. It says here, we are already clean. And I know I'm already clean." And it was just very touching to me, just hearing these different things. It's so good this morning even to be able to cry together and remember the joy in the Lord with our brother and remember his example and faithfulness. So just appreciate the way the Lord spoke through this vessel of his. We are already clean. And he shared that. I'm glad our brother Kenny mentioned to him during that time, "You have a testimony to share." I'm so glad. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, I'm glad there was the encouragement for him to get up and testify. And it was really prophetic. And him being able to say, "What's next? I guess we meet the Lord," you know, like it was really something special. So.
One of my first memories about Dennis has been shared, and that is years ago when we used to teach the children. Dennis was so faithful to always have a class. I don't know how many of you young people remember Dennis as being a teacher, but he was so burdened that the young people really know the Lord. And as Kenny shared, I think Dennis, every snack probably brought Fritos for those kids. I don't know if he brought dip. But we would bring snacks. We would share the Lord with the kids. And Dennis always prayed, Lord, help the children to see you. Just such a precious thought. Most of the teachers were parents. And here was Dennis. His son didn't go here. He wasn't in the classes. But Dennis labored over those classes, that the children would just see the Lord. I'm in the group, too, with Dennis. And Kenny mentioned that Dennis was so faithful about where we would be on Sunday morning. And I'm going to miss this. I'd be coming in, and, you know, I've got a bad back, so sometimes I'd be standing up, and Dennis would come to me, and he'd say, Mr. Glenn, have you got the piano side? He said, that's yours. I want you to do that. So I would stand over there and give the table, but Dennis would always be sure to ask that side be covered in particular. And I believe it was Wednesday night, Dennis told me at the prayer meeting, you know, I just can't wait to be with the Lord. And we cry. And we weep for our brother because we're going to miss him. But when Marcia and I heard the news the other night, Josh said it, I had a joy in my heart. O death, where is thy sting? With our brother, we know he entered the joy of the Lord. So, amen.
I don't want to be last because what I have to say is kind of frivolous, but before I share about Dennis, I just want to testify to the Lord's grace to me, and I'm sure to many of us here, for granting us that word from Dennis last week, for just, you know, stirring Kenny's heart, for stirring Dennis's heart to come up and give us his testimony so that we could have that to hold on to now that Dennis is gone. The Lord knew last Sunday that Dennis wasn't going to be here this Sunday. I want each of us to call up real quick an image of Dennis in our mind. I'll bet Dennis's face is smiling. Dennis was, I think, the most joyful and sweetest man that I knew. The basis of our relationship for over 20 years was the exchange of jokes and riddles on a frequent and regular basis. Not deep and thoughtful jokes, but just the silliest, lamest jokes you can imagine. So I just thought I'd share the last riddle that Dennis shared with me just a couple of weeks ago. It was a seasonal joke. Where does the polar bear keep his money? In a snowbank.
I only share because nobody else did, and that was Dennis's faithfulness in driving the truck. I got the opportunity in the last couple of years to give Dennis a ride after he took the truck back. And it was just a joy. Whenever we needed a truck, for whatever reason, Dennis was the go-to man. I mean, he did the contracting, he did the paying, he did the everything related to making sure that if there was a truck that was needed, or it would be there and it would have a driver. And it was so faithful. He was just a faithful brother. And he always was, like he said, cheerful. So,
well, I have to share. Dennis made a commitment to me last Wednesday night. he committed to drive his truck and help move Cindy Parrish. Dennis, you're excused. Precious brother, I just want to leave this thought with you. Something my brother, it was Stephen, shared with me many years ago after tragic death that I was wrestling with greatly. He said, Jerry, he said, in situations like this when you really can't understand, he said, just go to the Lord and worship the Lord. So I'd encourage us all, let us worship our Savior.
Well, you know, it's something major if I'm up here, because this is not my comfort zone. But I guess that verse, the purity and simplicity of devotion to Christ, when I think of Dennis and just all that we've heard, that verse comes to me, that he had a simple devotion to Christ. And I just will miss his smiling face. But I think he's smiling wherever he is. Dennis used to offer me a ride on his motorbike years ago, and I'd always say, well, maybe next week, maybe next week. So I let that go. And he was so faithful. I just picture him with his crash helmet in his hand, and I nearly feel like it's like he was snatched away. That's what came to me afterwards when I was thinking. And that night I was just saying, well, Lord, you know, it's just so amazing that he shared last week and now he's with you. And I opened Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and I don't use that very often. But when I looked at it that evening, the verse at the top was, whereas the Lord was there. And the Lord was there when it happened. It didn't take him by surprise. And when you read through that, it says, if the Lord be with us through life, we not need not fear for our dying confidence, for when we come to die, we shall find the Lord is there. And, you know, I work with death a lot. I'm a hospice nurse, but most of the people I see, they don't go this way. So I was out walking whenever I got a call, and it said, you know, Dennis is gone. And the breath was taken from me. And when I was thinking about that afterwards, I thought, what will it be when the Lord's people are snatched away? You know, that's the thought that came to me. It's like Dennis just was taken out and he's with the Lord forever. And may we be faithful, and may he return us to the purity and simplicity of devotion to Christ.
I just want to add a couple of examples of Dennis's faithfulness to serving the brethren here. Who's going to bring the ice for our group? He always brought the ice. I never, ever, ever had to say, Dennis, will you get the ice? He brought the ice. He knew exactly where to put it for our buckets of tea and water and lemonade. He did it always. Never had to say anything to him. He also was the only one who would chop onions. I refuse to chop onions. So whenever there was onions, he was like, sister, we need to cut fresh onions. And he always did it. And then Mort mentioned the truck. Just always with the truck. Just a shining example of faithfulness of service in the small things. It was those little small things. Kenny says he has the ministry of trash. picking up the trash in our group. Dennis had the ministry of ice and light bulbs, and what a blessing. What a blessing.
Thank you for your... Thanks for your grace. I cannot say it after having known a man like Dennis. Two words. One is humility, as has been stated. The other is simplicity. And yes, he was and is an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a living example. One short story, Dennis was a generous man. I had many sons, and when each of them came to age to drive, getting a car for them was quite the challenge. My oldest son, I was given a car, a clunker, in which the engine wasn't even worth having. I went out, bought an engine, of course, having first needing a place to change it out, and Dennis allowed me to use his garage and many of his tools. My son was blessed with a car because Dennis was a generous man. He brought us tomatoes. Dennis was a generous man. And finally, I just must read this. If there is ever a eulogy that is befitting of Dennis, this is what I consider. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Dennis was a man of love.
Simplicity in small things are huge spiritual foundations. You know, for example.
I'm sorry for you that didn't get to share. We never know when we'll see. Okay, but please be free to share. Send an email, encouragement. Send a text, email, we'll probably get around a little easier to people, so if you do that, let's just have a word of prayer, and then it's almost 12:20, and let's all take from Dennis's example and help set up and prepare and clean up and work together as one group, as one body. Lord, we're so thankful for these reflections that we can consider the work that you can do in a human life. And he may be one that's unnoticed by the world, but he's not unnoticed by you. You think of Enoch, how he walked with God, and he was not, because the Lord took him. We thank you for the lessons you share with us today, the encouragement from the brothers and sisters, the encouragement in your word, and we pray you seal these things up. And we too would be found out to be childlike. And we too would be faithful in the small things. And we too would love the Lord with all of our heart and love the brethren. May you be exalted. Surely you who know all things do all things well. And we rejoice that we had these years together and commit him still, who is in the presence of the Lord, to the glory of the Lord, and jealously await to see what he sees. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.